Thank you very much, Matt. Amen and amen. Well, you didn't make camp meeting. You're here. And that's good. So is God. He can be at both places. He needed to be in Portland yesterday. That's where we were. Whew. I don't know what's going on. They need several more freeways because it was solid traffic all the way. And when we left, we expected to get home around dinner time, but it was after 9. From Portland to Salem, 2 hours and 20 minutes. You can have big cities. We can enjoy a small rural town like Roseburg. But no matter where you go, big city, little city, America, or any nation, there's a war going on out there. And you know that, and you know that it's called the Great Controversy. Satan wants control of God's universe. Especially he wants control of man because God created man in his image. And if Satan can control us, then he believes that he can exalt his throne above the stars of God. That's Isaiah 14, 13. That's what it says. And that's what this war, this great controversy is over. So sin crouches at the door. And it's Satan's intent that it will rule over us. So what can we do about it? If life seems like one never-ending struggle or full of struggles, then you can identify with Jacob's story as it's recorded in the book of Genesis and as Lisa read this morning. In chapter 25, and you might want to just open up to Genesis 32, but we'll look at a few other texts. I like to do that. But we want to look at this story verse by verse when we come to it. But in Genesis 25, just a little history here. Jacob talks with his brother, Esau, and he talks him into selling his birthright for the very handsome sum of some bread and lentil soup. In chapter 27, Jacob is led by his mother, Rebekah, to lie to his father, Isaac, that he, Esau, is the older of the twins. Jacob and Esau were twins. And thus, that he be entitled to a worldly wealth and spiritual eminence, preeminence. And in verse 41 of chapter 27, it reads, Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. God had already promised Jacob an inheritance, and that through him would come a great nation. Yet his life remained full of fears and anxieties. So by the time you get to chapter 32, where we're going to get into in a moment, you find him in an all-night wrestling match with his maker, with God himself. It's an incredible story when you think about it. Jacob was around 97 years of age at the time of that wrestling match. What could he possibly be fighting over? You know, wrestling with God means that you're having a disagreement with him. He wants you to do something and you don't want to do it, and you're looking for a way out. Jonah was like that. So long as he refused to obey God, he was on the run. Not a good life record if it remained that way. And we can be thankful for Jonah that it didn't. But what we wrestle with God, he convicts our minds, our wills, our thoughts and feelings until a whole lot of tension builds up. It develops and it continues until we yield to him, to his ways, his purpose in our lives. Psalms 84:11, but if you want to go there, but keep your finger in Genesis. 84:11 reads like this. This is God. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. So God wants to bless us. He wants us to prosper. The problem is that many of us are determined to do it our own way, by ourselves, and that never really works. Man is never truly happy serving self. Just try to explain why someone whose needs are completely met, everything that they need completely met, and yet seems to want more. It's strange, but you know, you've experienced that. I don't mean necessarily in your own life, but you see it in other people. It happens. That idea started way back in the Garden of Eden. You can have more if you just taste this, and it will open your eyes. You ever read about a lottery winner who won the lottery, was happy one moment, and broke the next? It's happened just like that. Spent it all, fortunes. In Oregon, I got a throw this in because I see this commercial every now and then. The lottery does good things. And I, what? In Oregon, 10,000 Oregonians, 10,000, one in every 400 Oregonians is a millionaire. We have almost 200 people in this here this morning. That's half. Somebody in here is holding on to $500,000. Would you please raise your hand? I didn't raise mine either. Historically, God promised Abraham a new name, a place, and a nation. But now Jacob thought to take control. And he stole the birthright from his brother, twin brother, Esau. We'll pick up the story after Jacob flees, the place of promise, and has been gone for 20 years. He's been with Laban. This is his mother's uncle, soon to be his father-in-law, if you read this right. But he comes to a spot where he needs a drink of water, and he meets this girl. Her name is Rachel, and he becomes very fond of her. And they go home, and Laban invites him to stay, and he wants to marry Rachel. But Laban pulls one fast one on him. 20 years, he ends up marrying Leah first. So he has to serve, after serving 7 years, he has to serve 7 more years for Rachel, and then he has to serve 6 more years for the cattle. 20 years. But he does it all. And then he's got this notion, now when it's all over, now's the time to leave. Takes everything, all the possessions. He finagled for the cattle. We don't have time to go there. But it's an interesting story. He takes the cattle, and Leah and Rachel, and of course their handmaids and everything, and he bugs out with Laban after him. In verse 1, chapter 32, Genesis, the angels of God meet him. Now he dealt with Laban. He's got him behind him. and he's going forward. Then in verse 3, now God sends these angels with purpose. You know, God knows what's on everybody's heart. And he knows Esau is after him. In verse 3, he sends messengers. Jacob sends messengers to soften up Esau, who is out to slay him over the loss of his birthright. And in verse 6, they return with the good news. Esau only has 400 men after you. Not too good. Terror hits his heart. He makes a plan for dividing his family into two groups so that all won't be lost. Esau gets this one gets away. Esau gets this one gets away. He just had this encounter with Laban at his back. Now he is camped near a river called Jabbok. This is a very interesting name. Facing Esau, Jabbok is a river that pours itself out into the Jordan. The meaning of Jabbok is empty yourself. Confess. That's what it means at this point. Let God in. But you can't until you get rid of the sin. There isn't room for both inside. There's only room for one or the other. Suddenly, Jacob was back to a fear of death, a fear of what it was that he had done wrong long ago to bring himself to this moment. You ever make a wrong turn in life, intentionally or unintentionally? Oregon Desert, coming back from Nevada late one night, really tired, been already driving all day. Probably shouldn't have been driving, but I went into Oregon. Blinked my eyes, and you know how it is out there. Missed the turn, fork in the road. It was at least 20 miles before I realized I was headed north when I should have been headed west. That's a long ways from where you want to be. Consequences sent me 20 miles plus in the wrong direction. I had to turn around and come back. Which wasn't so bad, because I got so upset at myself that it kept me awake the rest of the night. But Jacob made a bad decision. It wasn't a mistake. It was his fault, his decision. It was what was in his heart. And after 20 years, suffered all the consequences for this loan. Everything, when everything seems to go wrong, you know what God does? He turns up the heat and moves in. You know why? Because he loves you. Because he loves you. And he wants to get rid of it. And he wants us back. Not surprising. It is something that is between you and him, so you have to do it alone. Alone with God. That happens in verse 24. Let's pick up the story there. When he meets Jesus. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. Jacob had separated the people, the belongings, his wives, the provisions, sent all of them over the brook of Jordan, pouring himself out, got rid of all of his possessions, but mostly he became an empty man. That's what God wanted. He became an empty man. So now he's there. Everybody's gone. He's alone, left to wrestle another man all night. But we don't know who that man is until he does something supernatural. Verse 25, he touches Jacob's thigh and he puts it out of joint. Then in verse 28, he changes, going on down, Jacob's name to Israel. We'll come back and go through this. Because Jacob wrestled him and prevailed. Israel means may God prevail. So in verse 29, he does something very strange. He blesses Jacob, this scoundrel who is so full of self. So who is this man that he's wrestling with? Well, it's Jesus. It's the Lord. It's the Savior. It's the Redeemer. In Numbers 22, this is who Jesus is. He says to Balaam, I am the one who opposed you. To Joshua, he says, I am the commander of the army of the Lord. Take off your sandals. The place where you stand is holy. You don't have to fight. I have given Jericho to you. He's the same one who said to Gideon, the Lord is with you, mighty man. Mighty man of valor, go in this might of yours and save Israel. The same one, he's the same one who appeared to Elijah in Mount Horeb in 1 Kings 19, verse 7. It says, arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you. It means alone, eat, taste of the Lord. I want to go with you. You can't make it on your own. The same one Nebuchadnezzar saw in the fire and said, saw in the fire, yes. Did we not cast but three bound men into the fire? I see four. Unbound, walking in the midst of the fire, and they're not hurt. And the appearance of the fourth is like the Son of God. So this is Jesus Christ, the Lord, he is wrestling with, come to wrestle with one of his children. And Jesus is here right now. Do you agree with that? You know what? He can come down the aisle right now, and he'll weave his way back and forth through every pew. Can't hide. He knows where you're at. And he will take hold of you, and he will bless you today. Cannot even fathom, because that's who he is. He is the Lord himself. Wrestling is with God is something you do alone, and it will happen, dear friends. It will. Probably has. When you miss that turn, make the wrong decision, and are brought to a crossroads in life. Jacob was left alone because it was just between him and God. Had nothing to do with all of that other stuff. And that's the way it is with us. Something had to change in Jacob's life. Something had to happen. And change is a hard word to grapple with. We don't really like it. We like a comfort zone. We look for it, we enter it, and don't bother me. It's the attitude. Ever ask yourself, why is this happening to me? Why me? Why me? Because wrestling with God reveals his heart. Wrestling with God reveals his heart. And that's what it's all about. Letting God have his way. Just think. Just Just think about how much God cares to take hold of your life and contend with you. Not just now, but every day, every moment, all the time. Lead you, lead your life. God, Jesus, the second person of the Godhead, taking total dominion of your life. You know, he could really do you harm. Have you ever thought about it? He could. Are we all sinners? You know, sin is a punishable thing. But he's with Jacob all through the night. Night is the darkness of our trials and our tribulations. That's why it's here in this text, all through the night. He's there for Jacob all the time, always has been. But he never forces himself upon him. Or you, or me. He wants us to give up, to resign, to give in. Look at 2 Corinthians, Paul in the New Testament now. Chapter 10, verse 1. He tells us how this is done. This is Jesus. I, Paul, entreat you. How? By the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Paul, who was once rude, arrogant, very demanding, I'm going to have my way, had a need to meet Jesus too. But Paul became meek and gentle after Jesus. So why such patience all through the darkness of our nights till the breaking of the day, until we finally say, it's over, God. I give up. Because if we don't, the battle goes on. The war goes on, folks. I know this about God in my own life, what I need. You know, Portland was an experience yesterday. And the traffic was horrendous. But it was worth it. It was a medical visit that I had to go up there for, and I'm glad for him. But standing in line when I couldn't have my own way, miles and miles, bumper to bumper, 2 hours and 20 minutes to go 30 miles. You can divide that up, and it's just a little bit faster than walking. Patience. Why such patience? All through the darkness of our nights, till the breaking of the day, until we give in. Because if we don't, the battle goes on. So I need patience. Today, people largely need patience. I'm not the only one in that. If only we had the patience that God has, how much better off the world would be. But many people, this is what we saw in Portland, were running to and fro. Verse 25, he touches Jacob's thigh, touches, and it's out of joint. Lord, isn't your touch supposed to heal? That's what I have always thought. Is something wrong? Why this and why me? Because you wouldn't give in, Jake. You wouldn't give in. We each suffer until we give in, get to where God wants us to be. And he wants us to be part of the family, part of eternity. The only remaining question is, how much suffering between now and then before we give in? Jacob retained the limp as a reminder of his dependence upon God and how much God loves him. Verse 27, what is thy name? Are you kidding me? God, you know my name. You know everything, don't you? Doesn't God know everything? What are you asking me? Hangs in there. The darkness of your journey, 20 years, probably more, lots more. And in the end, blesses Jacob. If you've read the entire history leading up to all this, you don't expect a blessing. Maybe a tongue lashing, you know, a verbal beating, but not a blessing. Jesus always shows compassion. Slow to anger, pours out his love beyond what any of us deserve. Ask yourself this much, does wrestling with God change you? Does it change you? When it's over, are you the same person? That's the question. How many would like to live their lives over if only they could? Probably most of us, if not all, have asked ourselves that question. Oh, if I could only do it again. What's the inference? It would be different. I'd do it different. But you're not the same person anymore after this encounter with Jesus. That's the necessity of coming close to Jesus when you wrestle with him. We can be perfect in the sense of Christian maturity, but we will always be changing, growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. So we wrestle. Here's some physical therapy for you. Having just left the doctor's office, these are your hands, your digits. Hold them up. Come on. Come on. Come on. Get them up there. Now, those are your fingers. Put them together. Now, rock them back and forth. You know what that is in sign language? Wrestle. That's what it means, to wrestle. These are two things coming together. Now, let's see how Jacob won. I want you just to keep them up there. Put those little tips right down there and pull it in and bow your head. That's prevailing prayer. That's prevailing prayer, folks. That's what mattered the most. Jake took it to Jesus and confessed, I was wrong. You already promised it to me. I didn't have to take it on my own. You know, there's a strong need in each encounter with Jesus. Something you didn't see, something you weren't dealing with. You take it to Jesus, who is testing your faith. And he says, let me go. That's the test. Let me go. But dear friends, don't let him go. Don't do it. If you want that blessing, because wrestling reveals the great need of God in your life. Strong sin in Jake's life. Jacob, do you know who you are? What's your name? And you wonder, well, why the question? Why are you asking? Names in the Bible meant something. They had special meaning. Jake has been ID'd by Jesus. He changes his name from Jacob, meaning he takes by the heel. You know, when he was born, he grabbed Esau's heel. You know why? He wanted to be first from birth. Because he wanted the birthright. That's why he did that. But the battle is over. He named him Israel. so gracious. And no matter what we do, if we stick in there with him, if we hang in there, don't let him go, we still get the same reward. What an incredible God. Jacob had to face who he is. He was confronted with the truth that his name didn't mean grabber, and that's probably in the margin of most of your Bibles, but it meant deceiver. And that's what he had to face, the truth about his true nature. And that's the sin that had followed him all of his life. But God is now telling him at the end of the story, all that history, whatever it is in your life, Jacob, is over. It's gone. It's not you any longer. Your name is Israel. So go and count your blessings. Verse 30. And Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, which means seeing God face